It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. So we get the Chargers coming off a 5-12 year. I repeat, because the last time we played them, we put 63 on their ass. 63 on their ass. Do you know anybody on God's green earth? Do you know anybody who said, I'm going to the window and bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl? I don't. I know a lot of people. If you combined all the Charger fans in Southern California, you can fit them in my pool.
JT the Brick.
You hear this crap? They're saying, oh, the Raiders have this. They don't have anything. But the Chargers do. And it's the same jerks who say, I love the Chargers roster. Every year. You idiot. You know nothing about the Raiders. The Chargers, America's new bandwagon, had 5 wins last year. Lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. I'm fighting off the Charger fans who think they're going to the Super Bowl.
And now,
63 on their ass.
Here's JT the Brick.
Well, that's the 63 on their ass intro that has a couple of days left to live. If the Raiders win, it lives forever, right? So, because we don't play the Chargers again until the last game of the year. The last game of the year. How far away is that? So I'm even thinking about that. So we'll see what happens. Tony Romo and Jim Nantz will be on the game. And it's a big game. It's in Los Angeles. It's the number 2 media market. It's the big new stadium in the league. I've dug into the Chargers depth chart, looked at the Raiders depth chart. We're waiting to hear from the coach. We'll talk to him hopefully tomorrow and get a vibe for what the team thinks going forward. This week is going to be an important week for this show and for Raider fans to kind of get going again. So people coming back from Labor Day, the holiday, they're back to work. You know, it's amazing what happens on certain dates of the year. You're supposed to take it more seriously. Like the day after Labor Day, first day of school, supposed to be more important than the third day of school, right? It's not. Or week one is more important than week three in the NFL. It's not. But we turn our heads on a dime when they tell us football's about to start. And we watch some college football. Florida State's 0-2. Ooh, UNLV came out big and beat Houston on the road. Nice win for Barry Odom and this squad here. They could be really good if they come out and win. And they got a cupcake this week, but they're going to have some interesting games on their schedule, so I know UNLV fans should be pretty excited about that. And now we wait around for the Raiders, the big boys in town here, the Raiders, and what they can do. So I'm looking for your key to the game, and later on this week we'll talk to more and more players, insiders. We should have a player on this week about the key to the game here. For the Raiders, I think they're going to have to – I don't know anything about Zamir White, other than who he is and where he played college and the few games that he filled in for Josh Jacobs. Speaking of Josh Jacobs, he was on Good Morning Football today. This is what I was talking about today. And he was on Good Morning Football, and he's there with his Packers gear on. And Josh's a good guy. He'll be coming back to the Raiders for 100 years, you know. Welcome back. Once a Raider, always a Raider. Man, but he seemed pretty comfortable in Green Bay. And he said he didn't want to play for Kansas City. Then he started talking about how great it's going to be for him to play with a top-5 quarterback. Really? Jordan Love is already a top-5 quarterback? The hell is that garbage about? And how he's going to be playing on a team that won't have a loaded defensive box, which is what he faced when he played for the Raiders. Peter Schrager, good guy. I've known Peter for 20 years. Peter just put out, and I retweeted it, his AFC playoffs. So this is Peter Schrager as he put his AFC playoffs there. So as the 1 seed, he's got the Jets winning the AFC East. 2 seed, Kansas City winning the West. 3 seed, the Ravens winning the North. And the 4 seed is the Jaguars winning the AFC South. All right, nothing crazy there. Jets, the number 1 seed overall, that's a bit crazy. Here's Peter Schrager's wild card teams. 5 seed is the Bills. I agree with that. The 6 seed, the Broncos. And the 7 seed, the Chargers. Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football and Fox has every team in the AFC West in the playoffs except the Raiders. Okay, so he believes that the Broncos and the Chargers are going to surpass the Raiders when the Raiders had a better record than the Broncos and the Chargers. That's what we're dealing with, and I think people are just used to it now here in Vegas, and the Raiders are used to it as a team. I want to hear from you on what you believe should be the reception that the Raiders also get in Los Angeles. I'm not in Los Angeles. I lived there 10 years. I didn't live in Inglewood, nor would I live in Inglewood. But I got a coach who I like a lot here, straight out of Compton. I'd live in Compton. Would I fit in Compton? You'd be surprised. I got a deep rap background. I could maybe fit in Compton. But this is in Inglewood, which is not too far. And Raider fans are going to be one. Every time I've been to SoFi, which has been a handful of times now, you get off the freeway there and you walk, and it's just the largest footprint you've ever seen in your life. You see the Clippers brand new arena, which holds 20,000. Like, it makes T-Mobile look like a tiny shoebox where the Clippers are going to play. I mean, it's massive. And then you have the Chargers stadium, SoFi. It's really the Rams stadium. And then you have LA Live, which used to be a great venue. The Forum, which is pretty cool now. I think it's YouTube Live or whatever it is. Great place to see a show. Right there. And a lot of people live around there. And a lot of people were displaced who lived around there because they blew up a lot of real estate to build sports and entertainment venues there. Now, we're not talking about Deep Henderson. We're not talking about the freeway here on the other side like it is in Vegas. They built a very interesting stadium. But what I don't like about SoFi, it's very Walmart vanilla. If you go in one Walmart, you've been in another. That's what the stadium is like. It's mind-blowing how cool it is with their video boards. Their video boards are really unique. But Mark Davis didn't want fans in the 300 and 400 section to look and watch TV at his games. If you go to a Raider game and sit in the 300 or 400 section, you're not staring straight out at the scoreboard like in Dallas or at SoFi. You have to watch the game. If you want to check the video board, you got to turn to the torch or to the other side of the stadium to see it there. So people are a little bit more engaged in the game. And then on top of that, the Raiders have a tremendous setup because the Raiders setup is just, it's the Raiders. The Chargers setup is when the Rams aren't there, they flip a couple of boards to make it powder puff blue. Because the Rams are blue. Rams got a great color scheme. And when the Chargers take over, they just flip the video boards around a little bit, make it feel like the Chargers. The stadium feels nothing like the Chargers. Nothing. Feels something like the Rams. And the Rams are a really good team. So if you got a vibe for this L.A. game, and if you're listening in L.A., what I'd like to hear the rest of the show on a Tuesday is how do you feel about the opportunity now to go there? If you're in L.A., Southern California, Oakland, San Diego, to get up there, it's $100 to park unless you really want to walk and get in there. It's a pretty high-priced ticket. It is because the Raiders are buying all their tickets from them. Are you going to go to this game, and what do you think about that venue? 702-365-9200. This hour brought to you by Remy Martin, the official cognac of our show. When you're celebrating any of your team's victories, celebrate with Remy Martin Cognac, XO VSOP. And 1738, Remy Martin team up for excellence here. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox will join us later on in the show. We'll tell you all about that. And then we'll jump into what I think the rest of the week's schedule looks like. And the rest of the week's schedule is going to be pretty interesting for us as we get it rolling here. I want to get back to the USC game. If you went to that game, my show cannot survive in Vegas without people who go to college football venues that break the Raider attendance record and the Super Bowl record, who don't chime in on that game. Did you go to the game? Where were you? What'd you think about it as USC was able to get it done? I want you to hear from Brian Kelly after the game. He was not excited as he went to the podium there at Allegiant Stadium.
We're sitting here again talking about the same things, about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And I got to coach him better because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous.
I love that soundbite. That soundbite is unbelievable. So I did my national show last night on Sirius XM, and people were offended by him. I'm like, why are y'all upset about that? What's your problem? There's a coach who lost a game. Did he throw his team under the bus? I don't know. I didn't sense he threw the team under the bus. He's just upset they lost. When you lose and you're upset and you go to the podium and your team didn't play well, say it. Might wake up the coaches. Might wake up your team. Might get someone going. So I thought it was great. And when I left that game, man, what a zoo it was in a good way. Walked out of that game, the amount of people that were there and the LSU fans, because you had to stay to the last play. And I got out of there really quickly because I know the place. I know the ins and outs of that. I barely got out of that before the crowd. I don't know how much the Uber surge. I don't usually do that. I never get involved in the Uber surge. you know, from my house to the strip is like $29. Okay, it's better than a DUI, right? Of course. You don't want to park. Parking everywhere in this town, it used to be free. You still can get some 3 hours free. But the surge coming out of that USC game, man, it was tough. You know, my wife said, why don't you make a right, walk down towards that. I go, what, Crazy Horse? That's where you think I'll get a better rate? You can get a cab from there. Chevron. Walk by Chevron at the corner there with the flags, or go to Whiskey Stadium, the new bar where the Black Hole will be hosting their tailgate parties. Opening day of the radio show. Good to hear from Gangsta Raider in such a critical game in his backyard. What's happening?
What's happening, man? I'm feeling good. Getting ready to welcome my Raiders back to our vacation home. And it's a homecoming for AP because, like you said, AP from Compton, right up the street. And I'm feeling real good about the game because I know we're going to beat them. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't understand the record we had in the division since AP took over last year with a makeshift staff or whatever. He went 3-1 in division. You know what I'm saying? Everybody forget that. So we're going to come out and we're going to – I tell everybody, sure, if you go into the game, show up in the black 9-8 jersey because the game is on September 8th. That's 9-8. You know what I'm saying? Show up in your black Max Crosby jersey on 9-8 day. Let's black out the stadium because, like I said, that's our vacation home, and it's going to be a homecoming for AP. And I believe that everybody think that Harbaugh is going to make a difference. Like a lot of Charger fans, they remember that whooping we put on when we put up 63 points. But they low-key thank us for that because they got their coach fired and the GM or whatever. So they think it's going to come back and bite us now that they got Harbaugh or whatever. And they would love to beat us even more than when we beat them to go to the playoffs that year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we got to take this personal. We got to come out and punch them in the mouth and be 1-0 in the division. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because Kansas City starts off against Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, yep. And they could lose. You know what I'm saying? And if we take care of our business, and I think Denver open up against somebody, they could lose too. Mm-hmm. You know, so we could be on the only team in the division to win if we win this game, and that's very important. So everybody come out, support your Raiders if you're in L.A., because it's going to be a Raider home game. Like I said, it's our vacation home. Wear your black 9-8 jersey on 9-8 day if you got one. If not, just wear a black jersey and represent the Raiders. Let's go.
Yep.
I'm pumped up.
Thanks.
Raiders!
Thanks, Raider.
JT.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. He's telling everybody to wear black. We always say that. Wear black when you're on the road. And it'd be nice if the Raiders beat the Chargers to go to 1-0. Broncos are at the Seahawks. That's an interesting game. Very interesting game there because the Seahawks opened up. Seahawks are a 6-point favorite against Denver. Bo Nix's first game. Remember, he played at Oregon. He'll go up against Geno Smith. That's a must-win game for the Seahawks. If the Seahawks are going to be anything this year, they got to win that game. Cowboys are at the Browns. That's the Tom Brady game. Brady's calling that game, his first game. That is 1:25 on Fox in that late window there. That's going to be a good one. Rams-Lions will be Sunday Night Football. That's a good game. Wow, that's a really good game. Rams at Lions. So also, by today or tomorrow, I'd like to get your Super Bowl pick. So I do that every year, and I'm going to do it by Wednesday, which is tomorrow. I'll wrap up the show tomorrow with my Super Bowl pick. I already have Detroit. I have Detroit going to the Super Bowl, winning the NFC. Put a lot of time and thought into that. I kind of care about this pick. Detroit's the team that had the big lead in Santa Clara last year, choked it away. I think that'll motivate them. They drafted well. They're balanced on both sides of the ball. It looks like it's going to be the Niners in Detroit. I'm going Detroit. I have not selected my AFC team yet. As you know, it will not be the Raiders. I'm not picking the Raiders to go to the Super Bowl, even though I'd like the Raiders to have a big season this year. And I'm trying to whittle it down. It will not be Kansas City. Yeah, it's not. It's not going to be Kansas City. Not going to do that, because then lightning will strike me on a 115-degree day with no humidity and no clouds in the sky. So it won't be that. So my short choices for the AFC, you know, I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, back-to-back. They didn't get it done. The Bengals seem to be a popular pick, but I think they've come back to earth. How about picking the Texans to win the Super Bowl? The Houston Texans. I think they're a very good team. The Miami Dolphins. Let's not forget them. AFC's got some good teams. It will not be the Chargers and or the Broncos. I'm not selecting the Browns any way possible. Could the Jets be in play for me as a Super Bowl contender team? You never know. You never know. 702-365-9200. That's that time of year. Bobby, you remember back in the sports fan days, those guys, scoundrels who worked there that were picking their Super Bowl pick when the playoffs started. That's when I started.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, there was guy. There's a guy in the bullpen was picking. I'm like, Super Bowl. I'm like, it's the playoffs. What do you mean your Super Bowl pick? And he gave his Super Bowl pick when the playoffs started. No, you got to do it today.
Nope.
Or tomorrow.
But you got to have it by the first game, which is Thursday at 5 o'clock.
And then, really looks like the San Paulo game is going to be interesting. That'll be on Peacock. Does everybody have their Peacock ready? Everybody?
I think it's on regular NBC also.
No. I don't think it is. Am I wrong to say that? If someone correct me, please. If you'd like to correct me, I don't think that game will be on NBC in Green Bay and Philadelphia.
Ah.
But that is a 5:15 start Friday night on Peacock. Raise your hand and beep your horn if you got Peacock. Jess, you have it yet? No. Man, they pulled that scam off nice. They made everybody start buying it. And they did a nice job with their coverage of the Olympics on that channel. They did a really nice job. And they got some people to sign up there. But people will sign up because football start. They'll look around at that game and they'll do it. And you can't cancel your subscription twice. So if you got it last year and you want to do it again, they will not let you do that. The Chargers have named Scott Matlock, the team's starting fullback. Ready for this? He wears number 99. He's 6'4", 300 pounds. I'll be the fullback for the Chargers. So when they get low and they are right there, first and goal at the 2, if they are against the Raiders, get ready. They're going to try to run the ball hard right down the middle. Jump on. We got an open line. It's week 1. We're back to school. Let's get some predictions from Raider fans on how you're going to end up beating the Chargers. You're getting everything from me this week. Woodson Bourbon Whiskey and Charles's Wine, Intercept, now proud partners of Michigan Wolverine football and the Las Vegas Raiders. Are you kidding me? Available at most Las Vegas Valley grocery stores, fine liquor stores. Go to WoodsonWhiskey.com, proud partner of our show.
Yeah, he's a football junkie. You know, we always talk about Max and Christian about being the first guys in the building, but he's not too far behind. And he stays late, and he's done a lot of things without a lot of hype and things that we talk about throughout the building that's starting to show up a little bit. And I think our team is really taking a notice of that. And obviously, since we named him the starting quarterback, he's kind of taken on that role with our skill position players and our O-line. So it's been good to see in the building.
Antonio Pierce talking about Gardner Minshew. Not a lot of hype behind him, but he's getting it done. JT, back with you. We're brought to you by the DeCastroverde Law Group. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. If you get into an accident or injured, 702-222-9999. You might not need it, but if you do, you want a great law group behind you if you get into an accident, especially in this town where people are driving like lunatics all over. Here come the cones. Here come the cones again. They're everywhere. Cones, cones, cones. Why are there cones there when there's no construction? There are cones everywhere. If you get into an accident, the brothers have your back. The DeCastroverde Law Group, 702-222-9999. So there was an article that I read today in preparation for the show, and I logged on earlier today. Antonio Pierce receiving low expectations ahead of his first full season. I said, why am I going to click onto this? So I clicked on it. And they talked about what he did under his watch, 5-4 down the stretch, nearly making the playoffs. Haven't seen that word mentioned often in the national media, the word nearly. It's close. You don't make the playoffs, you don't make it, but they nearly did. Despite the success that Coach Pierce had, he hadn't received a lot of credit from the media this offseason. The latest example becomes from the Bleacher Report, Brent Sobleski. In an article published Tuesday, he ranks each first-year coach in terms of how successful they'll be during the upcoming season. Pierce came in 6th out of 8 coaches ranked. Quote, expectations for the entire Las Vegas Raiders season are built around the fact that no one can trust their quarterback setup, said Sobleski. There's another guy saying the Raiders don't have a quarterback, even though they have 2. He did have a compliment for Pierce, though, complimenting the team's intensity during his time as interim coach last year. Quote, during that stretch, Vegas finished 5-4 and showed a much higher level of intensity. Sobleski does have some compliments for the roster as a whole. He gives credit to the defense, Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, who should be some of the best defenders in the NFL this year. So just think about what this guy wrote about. He mentioned Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers as playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. However, the unit has the team's biggest weakness, according to Sobliski. Go ahead and take a wild guess who he's criticizing. Yep, the quarterback, as it's the same with every other NFL inside of this offseason. Sobliski gives Gardner Minshew as the biggest issue for the Raiders in 2024. So that's what you get. You got a coach who went 5-4 down the stretch. You got a better quarterback. You know, I think Gardner Minshew is better than Jimmy G. And I like Jimmy G. So don't come after me on Twitter. I like Jimmy G. Anybody who's starting for the team and is healthy, I normally like him. Normally, all the quarterbacks I worked with here from the Raiders, if they started off a season healthy and they were pretty good. Again, I'm not talking about Jamarcus Russell and Donald Hollis. You can go back to Kerry Collins, who played in the Super Bowl for the Giants. And you can go down the list of a lot of other quarterbacks that played here. Matt McGloin in a mop-up role, not as a starter. But the starters, Dante Culpepper. I remember when he came here, everyone was excited. Man, Culpepper can play. He's a beast. He can throw. He's got a cannon. He can run. No one wants to tackle him. All that stuff combined. But another national column. I don't know if this guy's national or not. I haven't heard of him. I'm sure he's a good guy. But another guy who uses the term no quarterback to describe the Raiders going into the Charger game. You look at the numbers of Gardner Minshew compared to Trevor Lawrence. And you look at the Gardner Minshew numbers even to Justin Herbert. And you'd be surprised how good Gardner's numbers are. They hold up as a backup quarterback who started many games. You know, when you're a backup quarterback a lot in this league, you don't play. You just don't play. You don't get into games. You don't play. Gardner Minshew has always been a backup quarterback in this league. For whatever reason, he finds himself in a position where he's going to play. And we see that where he's going to play as a starter. This is a great opportunity for Gardner Minshew to quiet all the critics nationally. As we're back to the show, here's Robert in Portland. Robert, thanks for waiting. You're up next. Go ahead. Let's put up Robert's phone. There we go. Robert, go ahead. What's happening?
Yeah, JT, great start today. No. I just think that speed's everything. And the Raiders, as you know, I remember the Chiefs game well last Christmas. Speed, if they have the speed that they had in that game, they can get to Herbert easier than they can, the you know, most quarterbacks. That's one of the, everybody thinks Herbert, you know, he's fast. Don't get me wrong, once he gets rolling. But if he has to roll right or left, and Diablo's coming in there, or Kuntz is coming in there, that'll be the difference in the game. That's what I think. Because if Antonio has him playing, you know, with high, just the speed of that defense, they're going to get a couple turnovers, and they'll win. If they don't get any turnovers, I think they'll lose.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Thank you, Robert. The ability for Kuntz to play well and have to play great. He played so good last year that he was able to pick up his game down the stretch. People started recognizing his name, talking about it on the broadcast. Malcolm Kuntz became a reliable player for the Raiders. Now that's old news. We know that already. Can he come into this game in L.A. and blow up the game? Can he absolutely blow it up so Crosby and Wilkins don't have to be double-teamed or triple-teamed on every play? I don't know. I have to see it. I'm concerned about the defensive interior stopping the run. Maybe they're going to run it right at Max. Maybe they think Max is going to be coming around the edge and they just want to run at him with Joe Walt or one of those big Slater guys and just run at Max with a big running back behind him and try to go that way. It's going to take a lot to tackle these guys. They got two strong backs in Edwards and Dobbins. You got to tackle them low and bring them down. They move the pile forward. All right, we got him. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. He's one of the broadcasters for Fox who calls play-by-play every week, and he's going to join us most of the season, which we're excited about. Chris, thanks for coming on and coming off all those preseason games you worked. Now the NFL begins. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's great to talk to you. I started in New Orleans calling the Saints against the Panthers, but of course that's where the season will end in February as the city of New Orleans. The Superdome will have, what, their eighth? I know you'll be there. Their eighth Super Bowl that they've hosted, the 11th for the city, but a lot to talk about, a lot to be excited about.
Chris, let's start with New Orleans first because you're prepping for the game. And, you know, Derek Carr left Vegas and he never won a playoff game, but he was very good. Three-time Pro Bowler, watched all his games, and he's the type of guy that I think can carry the team to a playoffs and take them to a Super Bowl. But New Orleans fans know that Dennis Allen is kind of on a, you know, some type of a hot seat there. They get good. They got a balanced team every year, usually led by that defensive pass rush and then a great player out of the backfield and at least one great wide receiver. What are your expectations on this team? Because if they're a little bit better this upcoming year, they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and it takes a steady Derek Carr, but in fairness to him, this offensive line is probably one of the weaker parts of the team. They're going through a little bit of a thing with Alvin Kamara, who's just not happy. Still got a couple of years on his contract. I know there's some talk his house is going up for sale there, but he hasn't really been engaged in this postseason. And Lattimore, too, in the secondary, you know, they're deep at corner defensive back. So they've had a top 10 defense. And you're right, Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. And remember, Dennis Allen brought Derek Carr there from their experience way back with the Raiders when they had the opening. So the heat is really on these two. And the one thing I think that's positive is they got away from the Sean Payton offense. Not that that was anything wrong, but Sean Payton wasn't there anymore, and there were some of those assistants left. So they brought in Clint Kubiak. So I think you'll see an improvement in that area, but they have to protect Carr. And I think they're a contender. You know, last year they had the same record as the Buccaneers, who ended up winning the division, but they lost a lot of close games that hurt them in the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I want to move to the Buccaneers. You just saw them in the preseason, and the calmness of Baker Mayfield there. For anybody who was skeptical about Baker Mayfield getting a last chance or a big chance, and he found his home there, and he actually wanted to stay there, and he could have tested free agency, could have went somewhere else, and now he feels like it's home. What's the vibe in that community with the fans, ownership, everybody with Baker Mayfield, who still has tremendous upside as a quarterback in his career?
Yeah, and he's only 29 years old. It really is. You know, he would have been the comeback player of the year if Joe Flacco didn't do what he did, and he was so much further away to have to come back. But Baker really gambled on himself. He gambled in a situation. The Bucs took a chance with him. I mean, coming in after Brady, they've won three straight division titles after that Super Bowl. And then last year they won a playoff game and beat the defending NFC champion. So to me, their defense is still the best in the division. And Baker, he's reignited the franchise and embraced didn't get greedy about the contract. Maybe when you look at the money he got compared to starting quarterbacks in the NFL, it's a deal, so they could pay Mike Evans and give a long-term deal to Tristan Wirfs, his left tackle. So and they still have Chris Godwin. They've drafted. They had a very good draft. 22 of their 23 of their last 23 draft picks have made the squad, and their defense is young and faster. I know they don't have a lot of defensive end pressure, but they blitz so often and from so many places. I think Antoine Winfield, who they also gave an extension to, he's led defensive backs in sacks for the last 3 years with a dozen. So they can put pressure on from anywhere. I think they're kind of a dark horse overlooked team for even a Super Bowl run if you remove the top two, you know, the 49ers and the Lions in the NFC. But Baker has made it all happen because they really weren't sure where they were going at quarterback, and he wasn't sure either, but it's a perfect marriage for Tampa Bay.
Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. You're based in Los Angeles, where I like the Rams this year. I like the balance, their draft, their offensive weapons, if Stafford could stay healthy. And then the 49ers, Chris, had a lot of negativity in the offseason. Thank God Ricky Pearsall's alive after getting shot, and Trent Williams, and that's Ricky Pearsall is life. That's more important in football, but Trent Williams wants big new money and guarantees, and the Ayuk deal got pretty ugly right at the end, but they got him signed. Purdy didn't look good in the preseason. Do you think the Niners just automatically are the team to beat in the West, or are the Rams just as good?
Yeah, no, the Rams will challenge it, but the 49ers are just too deep in talent, and defensively they're really strong, even though they've had some injuries up front. But I'm with you on the distractions early, and I think that if they don't get their offensive linemen straightened out there, that's a big loss for what Kyle Shanahan likes to do. I mean, they go back to their Washington days and how important he is to what they like to do. Obviously, they still have McCaffrey. So I think they win the West, but to me the question is, are the 49ers a Super Bowl team? Are they good enough? You know, in the NFC, there's that layer. I put Detroit and them up at the top, and then there's, you know, maybe the Dallas, Philly, you know, maybe Green Bay and the Rams, and put Tampa Bay maybe in that next group when you look at established quarterbacks who can take your team the distance. So I think even if San Francisco is a little slow out of the gate, and I think they'll beat the Jets on, on Monday night, no matter who's in the lineup for them at that point. But I think they'll still be there at the end as division champs. But I do think the Rams are a playoff team once again, and maybe a team that could put on a run for the Super Bowl.
Wrapping it up with Chris Myers. Chris, I wanted to hit on the AFC East with you because the Jets were 3-0 in the preseason there, but it's preseason games and Aaron Rodgers being held back. That's a monster game coming up in Santa Clara against the 49ers, and I think it's pretty even. Buffalo's not as good as they were the last 3-4 years. New England shouldn't be a factor. The Dolphins are good, but they lost Christian Wilkins on the D-line. They seem to be a one side of the football specialty team on offense. And the Jets seem to be the most balanced team, clearly, in the AFC East. I just don't know if they can make that jump to being a pretender, to being the contender who wins it. How do you see it?
Yeah, well, I think they'll be better, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers healthy. And their defense, to me, is probably the best in the division. But there's still some internal, I'll just say, unrest with that team about decision-making and where Robert Saleh is in charge and who he's letting make certain decisions on offense. And I think those things can bubble to the surface, especially in New York. And I agree with you, it's a three-horse race. Buffalo's undergoing a lot of change, and especially at receiver. By the way, really bothered me to call Josh Allen overrated, whoever voted most overrated player. Guy's an MVP candidate every year. He's carried that organization to the playoffs. And if it wasn't for Mahomes and the Chiefs, he probably would have had his team in the Super Bowl. He didn't miss the kick. He didn't miss the pass when Diggs had opportunities to catch it. So, Buffalo will, because of Josh Allen, they're going to hang around. And the Dolphins I find intriguing. So, yeah, any one of those three teams could end up winning the division, obviously head-to-head tiebreaker. Miami seems to fade later in the year. Defensively, Anthony Weaver's the new coordinator there. That could make a difference. Mike McDaniel got his new contract extension. Tua got his money. So I expect the Dolphins to outscore a lot of people and be fun to watch. And it's a tough call. I'm leaning here. I'm still going to go probably Miami, Buffalo, Jets in the order of that. But I think the Jets will play around like they usually do, but not be good enough to make the playoffs and certainly not a Super Bowl contender, at least not yet.
All right, Chris, last one, a fun one. Now you're getting ready to hit the road for a long time. I know your family as well. You got your wardrobe. You got your cities you're going to. You got the big dinner with the production team. Those dinners that they have at Fox, they should have a documentary where you guys go and the back rooms and all that. What's it like mentally to know that you're packing the bag, getting on the road? I know you'll have some games close to home regionally, but how many years have you been doing this for Fox, and how much do you love being a play-by-play voice?
Wow. Well, it's been over 20 years of being with Fox. Remember, I was a field reporter when I first went over there from ESPN after doing Up Close and Sports Center. So, and I did, on the field at the World Series when the Red Sox broke through and the White Sox and then the Phillies. Ken Rosenthal has that role now. As I moved over into the booth, that was about, 2008, 2000, in that range, becoming full-time play-by-play and enjoying doing some college games. Mm-hmm. As well. Yeah. So, yeah, it's exciting because, I love doing the preseason. Some guys complain about that, but, boy, it's a real good prep, just like it is for players for us when we open the regular season, as you scatter 90 guys off the roster and you're down to 53, and then usually you know who's pretty much going to be the key guy. But production meetings, time with coaches and players that we get as broadcasters, and some of them are like Kyle Shanahan, some of them are really cooperative to help us prepare for the broadcast so that the viewer knows what's going on. But we also have a lot of fun. I'll be working with Mark Schlereth this year. I've had some great guys in the past like Rondé Barber and Daryl Johnston and then on Super Bowl crews being on the field with Aikman and Buck in the booth. So it's a lot of fun because we live and die with the teams every week and you look at your schedule and you go, hey, what about these guys or do we remember how we had this team? So it's nice to have a variety of teams to cover, but it never gets old. My slogan is every night's the Super Bowl, right? That's how you approach every NFL game. And I certainly feel that way. And so does most of the crew. At least they give off that kind of energy.
Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you next week. Always appreciate you.
All right. Yep. My pleasure. Take care. Enjoy.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. Great broadcaster. And another guy gets ready to hit the road with the New Orleans game. And then he'll start knocking him down. He lives in L.A. So if he's got a close regional game in Seattle or L.A. or whatever, he can get there. But a lot of times he's in Tampa, New York, New Jersey with the Giants or Jets. And it's a great guy. Good friend, man. I'm looking forward to having him on a bunch this year. It's always important to get. We have Jason Horowitz as an insider and Chris Myers. Jason does the Raider games on radio. Chris does the NFL on Fox. Fantastic. That's what we want to have, and we're going to mix them around so it doesn't get too routine for you. You're going to hear certain guys in certain time slots in and around this show, but we want to make sure it keeps going. I think the biggest story in sports today is Ricky Pearsall's okay. He's remarkably doing well with the 49ers after getting shot over the weekend. You know, a lot of people reacted poorly to this story because they made it a political story. 17-year-old kid shot a football player, and everybody turns it into politics. Oh, my God, it's about this and what happened to this city and this and that. And, yes, it was all over cable news as a political story. It's all it is a young 17-year-old kid who's really troubled, tried to rob someone and went afoul, and he shot him. And it's awful. And the fact that this football player is alive is incredible to me. When that came over my phone, when it came, Ricky Pearsall shot at Union Square. I said, Union Square? That's when my wife and I used to go Christmas shopping at Union Square in San Francisco. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole about what happened in San Francisco since I lived there. But he's doing remarkably well, Lynch told KNBR today. It's kind of uncharted territory. It's not every day you deal with something like this. We just felt, ultimately, if it was just this scenario and he hadn't had the other shoulder at all, we just let him get back in here. It was just a lot for him to work through, and he's working through it now physically. Can you imagine? A guy was injured. He gets shot in the chest, okay? Shot in the chest, and he's back at the team facility lifting weights. Incredible. Niners are a favorite, overwhelmingly favorite at DraftKings to win the NFC playoffs. They're minus 525. And then the drop-off is pretty heavy. It goes to the Eagles at minus 250, the Lions at minus 245, the Falcons at 215. You know, people ask about this Raiders schedule, how hard it is. Well, I'll give you an example. The Falcons have been good. You want to see the Falcons on your schedule every year. Now they're good. And we have them on the schedule for Monday Night Football here at home. You know, last year we had the Giants and the Jets. I don't think there were two worse teams in football. Tommy Lasagna, Daniel Jones, who got hurt, and then the Jets rolled out, you know, Zach Thomas or whoever they had there, their quarterback, that little blonde quarterback kid. Nothing was going to happen there. So with the team overall, we don't have those cupcake games. And for everybody's told me, well, that first home game we should win. I'm like, really? Should? Yeah, should win the game. Carolina's vastly improved. And we get them at the start of the year where they're going to have the ability to believe they can win a lot of games. But I wanted to get in Ricky Pearsall right after this because I'm happy that he's okay. God, what a story. What a story. And for the 49ers, today was a big day at practice. They had Trent Williams back. They had Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey, who missed a bunch of training camp there. So the Niners are loaded, and that doesn't work well in the Raider Nation. And we don't do a lot of Niners here unless we're going around the league talking about the better teams. The Niners in Kansas City went to the Super Bowl. The Niners had another 10-point lead and blew it. Kansas City's coming back at full strength, if not better. And the Niners are back with all the players they had last year, pretty much, to try to go out and win the Super Bowl. Who has the biggest chip on their shoulder? Niners? I say Detroit. That's why I picked Detroit to beat the Niners and go to the Super Bowl this year. I think the fact that Detroit lost in Santa Clara last year, that will motivate them in a big way to play great. 14 of their first 15 games are played in a dome for Detroit. No weather-related games for them, and they're pretty good in a dome. 702-365-9200. Also, Hassan Reddick remains a holdout heading into week one for the Jets. There were some real holdouts this training camp, big-time players who held out along the way. You want to get through? Want to hear from one more Raider fan excited about the Charger game? I've been excited for 2 hours. Anybody else excited about this game? Let's get it going as we kick off our week on a Tuesday instead of a Monday. Hope you had a great Labor Day and enjoyed it with your family. We like all of our proud partners. They mean everything to us. La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village. The walk-in humidor, over 500 cigar labels, live music, local entertainment, 7 nights a week. Private memberships available, Modelo, Remy Martin. All the things we like are there. Thanks to Mike and Sandy, our proud partners over at La Casa Cigars.
We got to go to work on the football part, you know, and I think we got to get more, we got to become a more consistent team, and we have to execute better. And if we can focus on those things and not necessarily what some guy in his basement saying in, you know, rural Central Florida on social media, then we got a chance to get better, right? So,
wow, what a shot by Florida's head coach that lost and got smoked by Miami. Napier, the coach there, ripping on Florida fans in the basement. Ooh. Ooh, sounds like me when I get a troll coming at me. I got to say, Mom's coming up. She's got mac and cheese waiting upstairs. You got to leave the basement. Normally, a head coach doesn't do that. That is serious. Hey, let's get a UNLV touchdown early in that game as UNLV went into Houston and dominated.
Sluka barking out the signals. Play action. Fires to the left. It's DeJesus over the middle. He's in, sneaking it in for a touchdown. Rebels take a 6-0 lead on an 18-yard touchdown pass from Sluka to DeJesus, and that's about what Rebel fans expected all offseason.
I'll tell you, Rebels look really good in that game. I don't know how good Houston is or not. Who cares? They went in on the road. They almost pitched a shutout. Very good, solid game, well-balanced. They put this game away easily to go 1-0 to start off the year.
Dropping back is Smith. Smith looking over the middle. He fires, and it's incomplete thanks to a leveling blow by Jackson Woodard. Oh, what a hit by the middle linebacker. He absolutely de-cleated the receiver.
That's UNLV football on the call. So UNLV wins coming home. They have a cupcake game at home. Some Utah Dental School, or who are they playing? I don't know exactly who they're playing, but
Utah Tech.
Okay, not the Utes. Not the Utes. Not big Utah. So it's amazing. You can get a team like Utah Tech on the schedule, but if you can get it, take it. I mean, look at Furman or whoever. What did Ole Miss win? 76-0. Some of these games were a joke. And then Florida State can't buy a win. Boston College beats them after they lose in Dublin and lose that game. So pretty incredible, man. In college football, fans lose their minds when they lose. Lose their mind when we lose. Steelers and six-time Pro Bowler Cam Hayward have agreed on a new $45 million extension with a bunch of guarantees. And we're still waiting on Dak Prescott, which, again, I've said this. If I was Mark Davis and he wanted to pay for Dak next year, all for that, if these quarterbacks don't pan out. And we got to hope that Gardner or Aiden do pan out. But if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm not paying Dak. I'm not giving him new money. He thinks that everything will be okay, and you're going to pay him. You're going to pay him to keep your quarterback. But I just don't believe in the concept of paying Dak more. He had a good year last year. He choked in the playoffs, got smoked at home in the playoffs. I do not reward someone for that. I don't reward for someone for that. But nowadays, the quarterback wins. And you know, Bobby, you're a Patriot fan. You had Tom Brady for 19 years. You don't have to get another quarterback. That's a big deal. And the Cowboys don't want to get someone other than Dak. They want to live and die with Dak.
See, that's my big problem with Dak Prescott. He's a good quarterback for the regular season. When you get him in the playoffs, he gets the happy feet every time.
Well, you could say that about Lamar Jackson, too. Lamar Jackson's 2-4 in the playoffs in his career. He's a two-time MVP.
Who would you have more faith in, Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
I would love Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the type of quarterback that the Raiders have been looking for, and the perfect fit for the Raiders could have been Jaden Daniels. Oh, that's what I wanted to say, too. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Marcus Allen. So I got a chance to bump into Marcus. Marcus was at the game. God, you want to talk about the definition of cool. Marcus was there for the alumni weekend. He showed up at the USC game. He was down on the field with Antonio Pierce and Ronnie Lott. So those are some big guns down on the sideline before the game. And then you get the last two Heisman Trophy winners. And Jaden Daniels, as he walked by me, in the bowels of the stadium, the guy had sunglasses on. I don't know how much jewelry he had on. It was a lot. He looked great. He's a rookie. Hasn't played a game yet. And he lives in the nation's capital, plays for the Commanders, and he's out here in Vegas, which is fine. He's hugging Antonio Pierce, seeing everybody there. And then Zachariah Branch, who's Cliff Branch's grandnephew, was part of that USC team that was able to win. So that was cool. It was nice to see such a big, big, big football game, which was incredible. Let's get to the final of Boston College. They came through and beat Florida State as Florida State's now 0-2.
Castellanos takes a knee, and the Eagles are going to walk out of Tallahassee with an opening night win. They have knocked off the number 10 Florida State Seminoles, 28-13. BC never trailed.
BC radio on the call. So BC gets a win, and they're feeling good. So Florida State drops out of the AP Top 25 after that 0-2 start, and that's what happens there. You don't win games early. You're not going to be ranked. And for them, they didn't expect. They didn't expect to lose two games early. To lose two games early was just not what everybody expected here. So today is Tuesday. We're done for Tuesday. Q's coming up next. Always listen to Q. Saw him today. He's got the flagship station up and running and ready to go as we count down to the game in Los Angeles. So we got a game Thursday. Ravens and Chiefs. I'll be at a Doghouse Saloon starting my Thursday night show out there. It's not a radio show. It's just an appearance. We go out there for a half, give away some prizes. We'll do that once a month on Thursday night. So that's Thursday night football, Ravens, Chiefs. That's a monster game. Friday, September 6th, is Packers, Eagles. So that's the big boy on Friday. You have to have Peacock for that. That'll be played in São Paulo, Brazil. Home game for the Eagles there. Looking forward to seeing how that one looks there. It should look spectacular. I'm all for international games. That should look absolutely spectacular, even though the players will not have any free time there. And then the other games are pretty competitive. Caleb Williams makes his debut for the Bears against the Titans. Colts-Texans early, that's been a good rivalry. I think the Texans are the better team. They're a three-point favorite on the road. We'll go through some picks against the spread, and then tomorrow my Super Bowl pick. I got one side already done, Detroit. Haven't figured out the AFC side yet. There's a couple of teams I'll grind through tonight and make that pick coming up. Thanks to Bobby and Jess for putting the show together. Appreciate Bill Williamson for joining us. And I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to get some sleep. I'm going to feel good and pop in tomorrow, knock out the head coach in an interview, have a good time there, and then get ready for the start of a great season as the Raiders are on the road to L.A. to take on the Chargers in a game. Doesn't get much bigger than that one, everybody. I know you know it. Let's have a great week.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.